That was worth coming out for this evening, right? Amen. Good stuff. If you would, in your Bibles, turn to Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 9. We'll start there again. We'll finish up the kind of a review of some lessons some of you have heard in the past. And we talked about the glory of God. The glory of God, meaning that phrase, means who and what God is. The word glory, or the term glory of God, is found over 500 times in the Bible. That makes it pretty important, doesn't it? And as we look forward to getting to the attributes of God, I wanted to use these particular lessons as an introduction. And anyway, I hope that you've had a good week, like I said. And I haven't had any caffeine the last couple of days, so got a little fogginess going on. You know, one of them little dull headaches. Have any of you tried to come off caffeine? It's amazing. It's amazing. Yeah. So I'll get back on it tomorrow. Got to have some unsweet tea. I haven't had sweet tea in a long time. Unless we did go to a restaurant here. It's been a week or two ago. And brought out, you know, I asked for an unsweet tea, and my wife asked for unsweet tea and whatever. So they when they brought it out, it was sweet tea. And so I told the gentleman, I said, listen, you know, that's sweet tea. I'm not drinking sweet tea. I had a little sip of it, though. It was awesome. So he went back, brought me another glass of tea. It was sweet tea as well. So I felt like that was the Lord telling me I should have a glass of sweet tea. He even showed me the jug. He said, look, this the jug says unsweet tea on it. Anyway, somebody had put sweet tea in the unsweet tea pitcher. And so, I just took that as a sign that I was supposed to drink the sweet tea. And I drank a glass of it. It was awesome. And then I was crawling off the walls for like 4 days. No, I'm just kidding. Jeremiah chapter 9 and verse 23. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. But let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord. Listen, a lot of people glorying, you know, putting praise and adoration directed towards, you know, whatever it may be, their wealth, their education. But can I tell you tonight, the most valuable thing, the most important thing we can do is know the Lord. And to know the Lord in a greater way. And we understand in the Christian life that knowing the Lord, or that relationship is a process. After we get saved, salvation is instantaneous. When we accept Christ as our Savior, we put our trust in Him and we ask Him to be our Savior, and we repent of our sins, He saves us right then, instantaneously. But the Christian life is a process. Sanctification is a process. Justification is instantaneous. Sanctification is a process. And we grow in the Lord. We grow together in the Lord. One of our purposes as a church is to grow. And one of the functions of the pastor, and one of the obligations of the pastor that the Bible gives me, is to feed the flock. And when you feed the flock ought to grow, right? And so we are striving as Christians. We are striving as born-again believers. Our purpose, number one, is to glorify God. But we glorify God by walking in the steps of Jesus, by being conformed to the image of His Son, by looking to the Word of God and seeing the Lord and being transformed into that same image. And that we are trying, and we are, by way of the Holy Spirit's help and the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, to live a life that's pleasing to the Lord Jesus Christ. To live a life of Christ and to fulfill that. As we think about that in our theme this year, launch out into the deep. In order to launch out into the deep, we must, if we're going to launch out in the deep, we must trust the one who's telling us to launch out. When the disciples were told to launch out into the deep, they were being told to launch out into the deep by the Jesus Christ, God in flesh. And Peter said, nevertheless, at thy word, I will. Why? Why would he say that, though he said, you know, we've been fishing all night, had caught nothing. but at thy word we'll let down the net for a draught. Why? Because he trusted the Lord. Because he'd already seen the great miracles. See, they'd already brought those there. He healed his mother-in-law, but then also they brought all sorts of people to be healed by him, and Peter and John and then all these men saw this, saw the great miracles. They trusted the Lord. And so as we think about that, if we're going to trust the Lord, we need to know more about who He is. And that's what we're going to do on Wednesday nights for the next several months. Is who is God? You know, what are His attributes? And so as we launch out into the deep, we want to get in a position where we trust the Lord more. Everything, all of our difficulties, everything in our life revolves around, and you're going to see this later on, revolves around what we think about God. I'm telling you, every little problem you have in life and every big problem you have in life will really, your reaction to it will really be determined by what you think about God and your trust of Him. And so we need to learn to trust Him more. We need to learn to trust Him more. If we are to trust Him, we must know Him. And the more we know Him, the more we will trust Him. The more we know Him, the more we will trust Him. And I'm praying and hoping as we go forward that we can make it interesting and have a lot of application as well. But just want to encourage you to launch out into the deep. Let's pray and we'll have a few minutes here. Lord, we thank You for Your love for us. We pray, Lord, that You would just help us, give us wisdom tonight. Give me clarity of thought, especially tonight. I pray, God, that You just hide me behind the cross. In Jesus' name, amen. That term, glory of God, means a showing forth of who and what God is. And who and what God is. I hope that you, at least two Wednesday nights ago and tonight, can at least get that definition down again. And as you are reading your Bible and your daily walk with the Lord, you can remember that. Know the term glory of God means who and what God is. The book of Job reveals that we are indeed oblivious to the obvious. Creation reveals enough about God to provide for us a basis to trust His goodness and the ability to act accordingly in spite of what circumstances can often seem to indicate. Even creation gives us enough about God to know we should trust Him. In all of life's circumstance, listen, if He can make the sun, if He can make this earth, the oxygen that we breathe, you know, if he can make a butterfly, then surely He can handle whatever comes into our life. He's promised to. Think about Jesus calming the storms, healing the sick, raising the dead. Creation gives us enough that we ought to trust Him. Psalm 14, verse 1 says, "The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God." The evidence of God's existence is so strong that only a fool denies it. By the way, he denies it because of his moral failings, not because of a lack of evidence. And I'll use that same term I used Sunday morning. An atheist, it's been said that an atheist cannot find God for some reason. Let me restate that. An atheist cannot find God for the same reason a thief cannot find a policeman. He isn't looking. And I said this Sunday morning that God has placed on the heart of every man the law of God, but the Bible also says in John that the Lord has lit every man that's come in the world. In other words, every man is born with the knowledge that there is a God. He knows it. The atheist just simply wishes there was no God. He knows there's a God, but he wishes there was no God. And that's why he's so adamant about it. And venomous about it. Man, some of the atheists that, it's amazing how mean some of them are. When it not mean as far as maybe their family and their morality, whatever. I'm talking about as they lash out at Christians, you know. Because they don't want to be accountable to a Creator. All of creation was intended to be a context in which God could reveal Himself in Christ. We know this. Colossians says all things were made by Him and for Him. I really believe, the Lamb was made to, in the beginning, the Lamb was made to illustrate for us the sacrifice that Jesus Christ would make. And on and on and on, creation was made by Him and for Him. A context in which we could learn of God, a context in which God could reveal Himself to us. And certainly, as we've talked about 2 weeks ago, He reveals Himself to us in Scriptures, yes. I'm glad of that, aren't you? I'm glad I have a Word that I can read and know and even understand to a point and continue to understand more and more as God gives me more light. I'm glad God reveals Himself to us by way of a Scripture. I'm glad that we read of characters, as we preached a couple of weeks ago, we read of characters in the Bible that God touched, that God showed Himself maybe in a greater way, such as Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 6, when Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up and His train filled the temple, and Isaiah said, "Woe is me, a man of unclean lips." Right? And he saw the Lord, it changed his life. Saul, on the road to Damascus, saw the light as bright as the noonday sun, and the Lord spake to him and said, "Saul, why thou persecutest me? It's hard to kick against the pricks." And listen, that moment changed Saul's life. He saw the Lord, and it changed his life. Job, again, as we used that same illustration a couple weeks ago, Job was a godly man, a wealthy man, one that worshiped God and eschewed evil and fled evil. He was a good man. But of course, we know the account that the devil came to the Lord and said, "Listen, the only reason why Job worships you, the only reason why Job he has the altar there and so forth is because you protect him." And God removed that hedge off of Job. Job lost everything. His wealth, his family. His wife said to him, "You want you just curse God and die?" And he said, "What? Naked came out of my mother's womb, and naked I'll return. Blessed be the name of the Lord," right? And he goes on. But he did begin to question God. He began to question his Creator. "Why is this happening to me? Why is this befalling me? I've done nothing." You know, that's kind of the attitude was. And God stepped out on the heavens, showed Job the creation that he was in control of. He said, "Do I control the whirlwind? Do I control the storms? Do I control the dinosaurs, Behemoth and Leviathan? Do I control the animals? Job, look what I control. Look what I in charge, that I made." And Job said the same thing. He said, "I heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye seeth thee. Therefore I repent in dust and ashes." It changed his life. By the way, God gave him double what he had before. God blessed him. What I'm saying is that a glimpse of God, the greater knowledge of God, changed these men's lives. Changed their lives. And so as we, as Christians, seek the Lord, and we grow in Him, it will change our lives. It will, as we go along in our Christian life. Creation communicates to us the power of God. We think about in creation, and we've studied this before, it's been a while, but one of the ways in which God reveals Himself by way of creation is light. Is light. We see this a lot going on. Look with me. Turn over to Psalm 19. In other words, God is revealing Himself through creation. Psalm 19. And well, this is such a great psalm. And the heavens declare the glory of God. There's the phrase. The heavens declare who and what God is. Psalm 19, verse 1. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath He set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. His goings forth is from the end of the heaven, and His circuit unto the ends of it. And there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. The heavens declare who and what God is. And God had set the sun. And as the sun, as the earth rotates and whatever, the sun is a circuit-riding preacher, just reminding us every morning there's a God. His circuit, it reminds us there's a God. Day into day, not into night, the creation utters speech. That speech is, there is a Creator. Creator who is God. So God reveals Himself by way of the creation at large. We see this also in Romans chapter 1. I'll just read a few of it. It says, the invisible things of Him, that is His attributes from the creation of the world, are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead. In other words, creation even gives us a glimpse into His deity, into His Godhead. There's a few examples that I'll give them in a minute. But God's eternality, all-powerfulness, and triunity are declared by creation. In other words, if there is something then, there has always been something or someone. The existence of matter demands eternal existence of something. I love that. Bill Nye, the science guy, whenever, you know, he asked the question when Ken Ham asked the question, where did the little speck of dust come from? And Bill Nye said, I don't know. You know, this is still something that eludes scientists. That's because, anyway. If there is something, there has always been something. Or at least someone, amen? It is either eternal, you've heard Brother Stewart use this phrase, it is either eternal goo or God. I mean, that's what it comes down to. It is either eternal matter or master. I'm glad I have a personal God. Can impersonal produce personal? Can a rock produce a rabbit? You know, it's just ridiculous. Can non-intelligence produce intelligence? Can order come out of chaos? Can there be a cause and effect universe and not be a great cause behind it? And we know there is. Evolution says personal, impersonal plus time plus chance. The Bible says personal, instancy, and purpose. I'm glad I have purpose today. My purpose is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. I'm ecstatic. I can sit down with my kids and say, listen, you have purpose in life. And it's not to be a hoodlum. Purpose in life is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. And I would remind you parents tonight, you ought to just drill that into your kids. Drill it into them. Your purpose in life is not to be an NFL quarterback. Your purpose in life is not to be a great scientist. Your purpose in life is not to be a big, you know, a huge nerd that makes a lot of money. Your purpose in life is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. And now all those other things may happen. But the number one purpose, above all the others, is to glorify God. I'm glad I have purpose. The triunity of God is expressed all throughout creation. There are only three primary colors from which come all colors, red, yellow, and blue. The universe exists in three basic realities, time, space, and matter. Man is body, soul, and spirit. He is intellectual, volitional, and emotional. And listen, that's just a speck. I had a list from Brother Stewart years ago that just showed maybe 50 to 100 of these where you see things in threes all the time throughout creation. It's amazing. And God has revealed Himself through creation. And sure, in somewhat it's limited in that creation cannot physically speak, but it speaks volumes by its immenseness, by its complexity. Golly, I mean, we had the opportunity when we took Caleb out to college last August to go to the Grand Canyon. Man, it's amazing. Pictures do not do the Grand Canyon justice at all. You cannot really, I mean, you got to go see it. It's amazing. God's creation is amazing. And I know you've been to, most of you have probably been to Colorado and seen the mountains, and just amazing what God has done. And creation reveals to us what God is like. It's the initial, listen to this, it is the initial outward revelation of God to man. Revelation simply means Him speaking to us. It's the initial revelation of God to man. Whereas the law written upon the heart, which Romans tells us that is the case. Remember that. The law written upon the heart, everybody's born with a conscience. All right? The law written upon the heart is the initial inward revelation. So not only does every person that comes in this world, every baby that's born in this world, have an outward revelation of who God is, but there's also the inward revelation of who God is. Creation and then the law. They ought to be able to look around and say, you know what, I'm not an animal. Animals don't have a conscience. God is the one who lit every man who comes in the world. Nature is the outstretched finger pointing up to God. Some of y'all remember reading about George Washington Carver, the great black scientist and Christian, by the way, of yesteryear. He said this, "I love to think of nature as unlimited broadcasting stations through which God speaks to us every day, every hour, and every moment of our lives if we only tune in and remain so." It's just a big radio station telling us there's a Creator. Creation establishes God's actuality. It's a fact. Creation establishes His authority. And that's what people don't like. Creation establishes His accessibility. I'm glad that God's accessible. I mean, He could just be out there in space and not care about creation or anything else, but He cares about us. He didn't just, start the earth and create the earth and wind it up like a watch and throw it into outer space. No, He's not very far from any of us. He cares about us individually. I mean, the psalmist says that He knows the number of hairs on our head. Think about that. I'm losing them every day. Especially in the last year. I don't know what's happened. It must be the shampoo or something. I think my Y is finally turning into a T, though. I'm trying real hard. But God loves us, knows us, cares for us personally. Don't ever forget that. He knows exactly what you're going through tonight. He knows the day you've had. He knows what you had for lunch. He knows the argument you had with your spouse. He knows the trouble you have with the kids. He knows it all. He knows the problems you have at work. But He also sees the great times. He's seen the babies born and everything else in your life. He's seen it all, and He cares about you. By the way, He didn't just care about you, but He personally wants a relationship with you. The God of the universe, the God who created the Grand Canyon, wants to have a personal relationship with me. Wants to have a personal relationship with you. It's amazing. If I'm not careful, I'll get off of my Sunday message. I'm ready for Sunday. I'm ready to go. Sunday's going to be good. I hope you're here Sunday morning. It's going to be awesome. We also know that through the Bible that God has revealed Himself by way of light so that we have the greater creation. And then we have seen that throughout the Scripture that He has manifested Himself as light. Now, let's clarify. The Bible does not in any way indicate that God is light, but that He manifests Himself as light. In other words, we've got to get very careful about this pantheism going on in the world today where, we can get into that. But God expresses Himself as light. We think about it for a second as we think about God expresses Himself as light in the Bible and in creation, that light above everything else functions as a revealer. Again, you go into a home and turn the lights on and see the little cockroaches go, scurry back into their holes, right? They don't like the light. Darkness, sin, light is the revealer, right? And boy, a lot of sermons there. Repeatedly throughout the Bible, God indicated His special presence by way of light. Christ is the special revealer of God. We'll cover this in a second. And especially of the Godhead. In other words, we know that by way of Scripture that God has manifested Himself as light, and that light primarily has come from the person of Jesus Christ. I've already described to you that the Bible describes that Christ has lit every person that comes in the world. That every man that comes in the world has been given a light. By the way, the first man was given light, Adam. Given a conscience, an understanding, They were given light. Moral awareness. No animal has moral awareness. So don't let these guys tell you in school that you're an animal. We're not animals. But we have dominion over the animals. That's why we eat them. Because they taste good.
Take the barb off the hook, it hurts the fish.
I don't want to lose the fish. That's why it's got that hook's got that little thing on there. Right? A little barb on there. So when I hook the fish, it don't come off. Because I want to eat the fish. Well, it's just going to hurt him. I don't care. I want the fish. I'm human. He's animal. God made him for me to eat. Animals do not have moral awareness. John 8, verse 12, Jesus states that He is the light of the world. Hebrews chapter 1, we won't take time to go read it, but the Bible talks about God at sundry time in diverse manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken to us by His Son, whom He hath made of all things. God revealed Himself by way of His Son, Jesus Christ. The chief expression of God's glory is His Son. We got time. Turn to Revelation 21, verse 1. Some of y'all remember this. It's been a long time since we've done this. But look at Revelation 21 and verse 1. All right, so everybody lick your fingers now. Let's go. We're gonna turn to about four or five passages here. Revelation 21, verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God. Look over at verse 10. And He carried me away in the Spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone clear as crystal. Notice this phrase again, having the glory of God. Now look with me in verse 23. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. Verse 24, And the nation of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of earth do bring their glory and honor into it. Look at back at Revelation chapter 1. Again, we're talking about that the God revealing Himself by way of light. Revelation chapter 1, look at verse 10. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 10. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet, saying, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, and what thou seest, write in a book, and send it unto the seven churches which are at Asia, and unto Ephesus, and unto Smyrna, and unto Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. Everybody with me? And in the midst of the seven candlesticks was one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with garment down to the foot, and girt about with paps with a golden girdle. And his head and his hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in the furnace. And his voice was the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars. And out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. And his countenance was as the what? The sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of hell and of death. Who was shining as the sun shineth in his strength? Jesus was. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. If I get there before you do, I'm going to read it. 1 Timothy chapter 6. You can write it down if you want to look at it later. In verse 13. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 13. And I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, whom Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment and... And keep this commandment before Jesus Christ, before good confession, that thou keepest this commandment without spot, unrebukable, unto the appearing of the Lord Jesus, which in his time he shall show, who is blessed and the only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man what? Can approach, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. Who dwelleth what? In the light. In the light. We know, and I'm not going to turn there, but we know Saul on the road to Damascus saw the light shining as bright as the noonday sun. You can go back through Psalm 104, verse 1 through 5, and see the same light. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, that Shekinah glory. Exodus chapter 4, 40, Shekinah glory. And Genesis chapter 1. The point is this, that if you work your way back, you see again that Christ has been revealed by way of light. Over and over and over again throughout the Scriptures. All the way back to Genesis chapter 1, where the Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Let's go back there and read it real quick. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. But we know the sun, moon, and stars weren't created till the fourth day. So again, what was this light? And we don't know. I mean, we can't say dogmatically that this was Christ in a pre-incarnate form shedding forth light. That's what I believe. I believe when Jesus stood up and he began to preach and he said, I am the light of the world. I think he was reaching all the way back to Psalms, Psalm 104, all the way to 2 Chronicles chapter 7, all the way in the tabernacle and the Shekinah glory, all the way back to creation when God said, let there be light. He was reaching all the way back, and literally in the beginning, Christ, in a pre-incarnate form, was the light of the world. And now he came to earth as a man and said, I am the light of the world. And then he says, ye are the light of the world. Good stuff. Another scripture you can look up. Psalm 33, 6 through 9. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. I mean, there's so many that allude to this. God revealed himself by way of light. By the way, light is what dispels darkness. Lastly, the saints' future resurrection. The Bible ascribes to us or alludes to us that literally one day we will shine. Daniel chapter 12 verse 3 says that they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, as the stars forever and ever. Matthew 13, verse 43, speaks of us shining forth as the sun. Romans chapter 8, verse 16 through 18, joint heirs with Christ, glorified together, the glory that shall be revealed in us. Though I believe that's talking spiritually per se, but could be talking about physically as well. 1 Corinthians 15, 39 through 40, talks about one star different from another star in glory, so also is the resurrection of the dead. And I do believe, and I from the Scripture, especially the Daniel Scripture, that when we get to heaven, that we will shine. We will shine. We will shine. And I don't know that some will not shine more than others, and some shine less. It'll be interesting to find out whether some will be 10-watt bulbs, some will be 50-watt bulbs, some will be 100-watt bulbs. It'll be interesting to find out, won't it? God gives us just about enough about heaven to want to go there. He gives us just about enough about judgment to not, you know, to live right. I'm so looking forward to heaven, aren't you? I do believe there will be differences. There will be differences. You say, well, I've heard the argument. Well, preacher, if you know, if one shines brighter than the other, then there could be, well, there'll be no pride in heaven. There'll be no sin nature in heaven. So one shines brighter than the other would not be any concern of anybody's. But it may be that we do shine. Again, very interesting. Christ is the one to look to for the transforming power of God as we think about God and His creation. God has revealed Himself by way of His creation. The glory of God. Every day when you step out and go to work and all the snow we've had. God's in control. God created all things, and God's revealing Himself by way of creation. And God revealed Himself by way of light. By way of light. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And God reveals Himself by way of light. And then one day we will shine. I think it's a good question to ask. Where are you at? Are you a 100-watt bulb? 20-watt bulb? Maybe it's now we could ask, are you LED? Or are you fluorescent? How's your light? Amen. Let's all stand. Let's turn to hymn 118. I need thee every hour. I need thee every hour. After we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have revealed yourself to us by way of your word and by way of the great characters in the Bible, seeing the influence that you had upon them when you revealed yourself to them. Boy, I think of Moses, God, and how he just got a small glimpse and how it changed his life. God, I pray that through these upcoming weeks that we get to know you more, that Lord, that by knowing you more, it would influence and change our lives. God, I pray that we would live as you would want us to live, that we would walk according to your word. I do thank you for your creation. I pray that you would speak to us through that and just a greater way this week, that we would recognize and understand that you are God. Lord, I pray that you'd bless those who've come out tonight, who've worked hard today, and Lord, just needed the cup full. I pray, God, that you would just influence their hearts tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.